surfaces. Spend Friday with us and you're over halfway to Charlotte for the championship game. Go Tigers!
Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
You guys are going to be champions.
Champions.
By God, you're going to be champions.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
I got this feeling inside my bones. It goes electric, wavy when I turn it on.
Hour number three, Out of Bounds. William Quackenbush, Kelly Gramlich. We are live inside the Poland-North Practice Facility, the Reeves Complex here in Clemson. We're going to be joined in this hour at some point by Tim Beray. We appreciate his expertise always. You mentioned it's just such a fascinating conversation about these coaching changes and the candidates that are available and the time frames for some of these, and the fact that a lot of the candidates actually are two things. They're either playing or the candidates have removed themselves as candidates, like in the PJ Fleck, Matt Campbell sense where they've taken themselves off the market. It's very interesting. You know who hasn't done that, who hasn't signed an extension, which he doesn't need one, but James Franklin hasn't signed extension. It's interesting.
Would James? Do you think there's any part of James Franklin that is interested in Florida State?
Somebody pointed out this. I don't know if this is true or not, but I guess it makes sense. Somebody pointed out that there's not like friction with James Franklin and Penn State. Just from your perspective, how would you characterize the James Franklin era at Penn State? How would you characterize it? Just, I mean, without even really looking at
successful.
Stuff. Successful? Okay.
Yeah, they won the Big Ten.
Okay.
And I didn't think, I mean, Penn State, when he inherited them, they were coming off the Bill O'Brien years, which were right after the whole mess there.
Right.
And I don't think anyone thought that they could win the Big Ten in the near future. And they did that. That's really impressive to me.
Here's what I think about the James Franklin tenure at Penn State. It's basically like two shrugged shoulders. I don't know. I don't know what their identity is. I don't know what they're trying to do. I don't know what program they're trying to be. I know they're trying to amass talent, but they also had, they were both recruiting well and seeing a bunch of guys go out on the transfer portal. They just had a five-star wide receiver go out on the transfer portal. Trace McSorley was a very different passer when Joe Moorhead left for Mississippi State. He was a very different quarterback. So I don't even know what they really want to draw out of their quarterbacks in their offense. I don't know if they want to run it or throw it. I don't know if they want to run their quarterback or keep him in the pocket. I don't know what they want to do on defense. I just know they've got a bunch of players until they all go in the transfer portal. And I know that James Franklin is a rah-rah guy who fires people up, except for every other coach who hates him. So I really don't understand what that is. So it's just two shrugged shoulders, like, I don't know. And so I was reading this thing, and just as an aside comment, it was basically just like, for some reason, and it's hard to put your finger on why, for some reason James Franklin and Penn State seem frustrated. Like the fans seem frustrated that they, yes, they won the Big Ten, but that was a year that they didn't get to the playoff. And oh, by the way, a team that they beat for the division actually got to the playoff that year. They haven't been able to consistently beat their rivals enough to get to the playoff. They've recruited well, but then you see the mass exodus from last offseason where they had double-digit guys in the portal.
Also,
only Virginia Tech had more
guys. Only one other Big Ten team besides Ohio State has made a playoff.
Right. But you see what's happening in Michigan, though. They're frustrated with Harbaugh, and I actually read a comparison. I think it was on ESPN.
Who's more frustrated, Penn State or Michigan?
Michigan is more frustrated.
Yeah, they have to be.
But by any measure, this is the first part of the article, and I'll try to find it because it was a really well-written piece. By any measure, the Jim Harbaugh era has been a resounding success. That's how they started. Jim Harbaugh has already won more games in his tenure than, like, the previous 7 years combined, or whatever the number was. He's been there 5 years at Michigan. The seven previous years of Rich Rodriguez and Brady Hoke, they won the exact number of games that Harbaugh's won. He's won 10 games more times than he had in like the last 15 years.
But
he can't beat Ohio State. And so the frustration. He's not getting over that hump. So they feel like there's a plateauing of the program, that there's not something else on the horizon for them. And by every other measure, except for beating Ohio State, which is important. Jim Harbaugh's era is not a failure. And yet, I don't think we talk about it that way. Because they're not able to beat Ohio State, and therefore, they're not able to get to the playoff.
But it's not like they're winning every other game but Ohio State.
What's their record this year?
They've lost three games.
They lost three.
They were blown out by Wisconsin. They were embarrassed by Wisconsin.
Who's a good team?
And then they lost to Penn State.
Who's a good team? On the road.
But
they have no bad losses.
They
got blown out twice.
They were blown out by Florida and they were blown out by Ohio State. I think the blowouts are kind of the issue there. You know, it's not like you're just losing a bunch of close games and you're just so close and you keep getting blown out by Ohio State.
Harbaugh does have a way of he has a way of frustrating you just in the course of your day. You know, like when you're down 28-13 and you've only given up touchdowns and you kick a field goal, or you are down 42-16 in the third quarter and you kick a field goal.
And then he won't, after the game in the press conference, he seems insulted that you're asking him what is wrong with this, right? Like, why is the talent gap so big? What's the problem? And he I don't know. It's just the way that he reacts
to
that.
And Harbaugh's a weird guy, and he's a hard guy to work for. We know that at Stanford, they were more than happy. I mean, yes, they said all the right stuff. But I don't think anybody was like, gosh, I can't believe we have to drop all the way down to David Shaw when they lost Harbaugh. If you actually read some stuff from, like, people who were around, they say that was headed for a divorce anyway.
Yeah.
Harbaugh and Stanford. The 49ers didn't exactly raise Cain when he decided to leave for Michigan. It's not like they tried hard to keep him there financially. It feels like a guy who sort of runs out the string, a Buzz Williams type guy, runs out the string, a few years, leaves. He doesn't feel like a guy who's at a school for 30 years.
Think about the weirdo level with Harbaugh and Andrew Luck at Stanford at the same time. Those are two weirdos.
Is it any wonder that they had tremendous success with each other?
Because they're just the weirdest.
They are the weirdest.
The weirdest dudes.
But James Franklin has a little bit of that weird vibe.
Don't
you think?
Okay.
Not quite in the same way.
He's not as weird as Harbaugh.
No.
No one's as weird as Harbaugh.
No.
Here's a text from Tiger fan Clint. This is an interesting point. He said, the people who think Franklin might leave basically think 10-2, 9-3 is the ceiling at Penn State. You have to deal with Ohio State, Michigan, Wisconsin every year, where at Florida State, you only have to deal with Clemson and you get Florida recruiting.
Which is true. That's true. My thing with Franklin is more about
you do have to
the
deal
schools
with Miami and Florida at Florida State.
I mean, it takes two to tango. Like, and we know this. We know this some from personal experience, seeing sometimes you hire somebody and they look great on paper and it ends up not working out. Sometimes a person takes a job that ends up being different than they thought and it doesn't work out. That happens every day in the business world. And it's not that the job is bad or that the employee is bad if there's friction on either side. It's just that it didn't work out. I think James Franklin as a candidate feels like a rock star. But I just think there are some things that you have to consider before you back up the Brinks truck to give him whatever he wants.
And they had those issues at Vanderbilt, too.
They had the issues at Vanderbilt, and to his credit, they have not popped back up at Penn State. And that also could have been where he was trying to recruit kids when he was at Vanderbilt. That Vanderbilt hasn't ordinarily been able to tap into. Penn State already has well-defined recruiting markets. But we also know that the Maryland staff was not real fond of him because of the way he recruits. We know that Ohio State has had issues with him. We know that other schools in the area, I think Pittsburgh, he's had a little tiff with Pittsburgh. And it seems weird to me that, I mean, Franklin came in talking about we're going to win back D.C. and D.J. Durkin, R.I.P., his head coaching career. D.J. Durkin is like, I probably shouldn't have said that. Durkin was basically like, no, wait a second. Like, we recruit D.C. So you see what I mean? Like, he rubs people the wrong way. Even though he seems like a guy who can very much rally a fan base to him. He's not seemed to rally the Penn State fans to him. Not like a P.J. Fleck, who's also a weird guy and an oddball,
rallied
himself.
I think he's more lovable.
Rallied the fans to him.
With P.J. Fleck.
P.J. Fleck is?
His weirdness. Texter also says this, Penn State is a massive program, second largest stadium in the country. It should not be a stepping stone to anywhere.
Correct. Unless there are barriers like we were just up there. You know what's in State College, Pennsylvania? Literally zero. There's nothing in State College, Pennsylvania.
Well, look at Clemson.
Clemson is a booming metropolis compared to State College, Pennsylvania.
Wait, it was that small?
We stayed at a hotel. I'm not being disrespectful at all.
It was that small?
We stayed at Penn State. The hotel. Like, the only hotel that we saw.
It's called the Penn Stater.
The Penn Stater. It's the hotel we stayed in. I didn't see another hotel. There's nothing there. Now, they have an event venue. Yeah, I mean, they might have some people. I don't know how big it is.
It says that the population of State College is 42,430. That is a lot bigger than
Is that with
Clemson.
An enrollment of 42,000 students? I mean, look, I don't know how big it is. I'm just telling you, around the campus, there's nothing. There's nothing around there. It's not in a... It doesn't have access to a city.
The State College Dubois combined statistical area has a combined population of 236,000 people. That was in 2010. Clark, this sounds a lot bigger than you were making it out to be.
There's nothing there. We drove around it. There's nothing there. There's literally nothing there except the football stadium and the campus. That's it.
The fifth biggest employer is the Walmart, so that is maybe a point
there. That's what
there,
I'm saying. They got a million, billion students, of course. Like, how many students?
They do have a ton of students.
They got like a million, billion, jillion students.
Their enrollment at Penn State is... Wait, what?
81,080 undergrads. That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, they must have a lot of online stuff. They're at University Park. They have 40,000.
40,000.
That's a lot.
That's more than twice Clemson's undergrad enrollment. So it's a huge university with not much else. And that's fine. But also, it's a program that lives a lot in the past.
That's true.
It's a program that lives a lot in the past, and it has peers who are living a lot in the present, a.k.a. Ohio State. Ohio State ain't trying to recruit off that Jim Tressel, Maurice Claret national championship. They're not trying to recruit off of Troy Smith and going to the national championship a couple times. They are recruiting off of legitimate success right now. I just think if you're James Franklin, yes, USC, because there's not, like, if Utah is your power, you can out-recruit Utah. You only have to out-coach Utah. You can out-recruit Utah to death, to me, if you're USC. That's the only peer that you have in your division. If you're Florida State, you can recruit for Clemson, especially if Clemson starts losing assistants. You're thinking, you know, if Jeff Scott takes a job or Tony Elliott takes a job or Venables or Streeter or Mike Reed or whoever takes a job, you might be able to, they might lose a little momentum. Again, I'm not saying that's going to happen. I'm saying if you're looking at the landscape of college football going, okay, this job may not be great now because I can bump my head, but is this program going to slip a little bit? From an outside perspective, the opportunity exists for a slip.
That brings up another point. And actually, Wes gets in on the text line and says the weather is terrible there, too. So that's part of it.
Okay.
Okay. If you're comparing Penn State and Clemson, that brings up the other part of this discussion that we haven't really hit on. And I'm not sure. We haven't talked about this. I'm not sure how comfortable you are discussing this.
Okay.
But I would imagine over the next couple of weeks, we're going to hear more about the possibility of a Clemson assistant at least interviewing or being considered for one of these jobs. We haven't heard much about that yet. I've seen Jeff Scott's name more than others on some of these, articles of the five best candidates or whatnot. Do you think that, 2 weeks from now, are we going to be really discussing the possibility of an assistant leaving?
I think maybe you said or somebody said I was talking to last offseason said that they'd be surprised if everybody came back, and I said I wouldn't be surprised if they.
I don't know if I said that, but I do feel like it's got to be a matter of time. I would just be really surprised if Brent Venables, Tony Elliott, and Jeff Scott all retire here. You know, they just spend the rest of their careers and rest of their lives here in Clemson with Dabo, and it's all just hunky dory and happy ending, and everyone lives happily ever after. I'm not saying it couldn't happen, but history has shown us that it's very rare that. All, not just one of your assistants, like a Bud Foster or something, all of your coordinators just stay with you the whole time. I know Chad Morris obviously was the first one, but that's very rare.
I think there are some particulars about these situations that make this offseason fairly intriguing. I said I thought Georgia Tech should go after Tony Elliott because I thought with his engineering background and his ability to relate, he recruits Atlanta. He recruits a lot of like metro areas type deals. He came from a poor background, so he can go to somebody and talk about, like, you can go to Georgia Tech and set your family up, that kind of stuff.
You can do that.
Right, he could actually sell that, okay? And I thought he'd be a great fit there. They did not agree because they apparently didn't even really talk to him.
Or maybe he put out the notice that he wasn't interested.
Right.
You never know.
Now, I think there are some particulars about this USF job that are intriguing. Intriguing thing number one, they're not that far removed from success. So with Quentin Flowers there, they had a lot of success. It's not going to take long to get him back. If anything, Scott Frost showed us that at UCF. You can go from 0-12 to 12-0 like that with a few good hires and a few good recruits.
Especially in Florida.
Yes.
Because you can recruit.
Yes. The second thing is the AD at USF is Michael Kelly, who used to be one of John Swofford's right-hand men. I think he was number two in command, as a matter of fact, at one time in the ACC. So he has relationships with Dabo Swinney, bunch of people in the league.
Interesting.
He might have interest in hiring from out of the league that he knows. He also might be interested in hiring an offensive guy because the defensive guy he just let go went 4-8 and has basically lost every game since that random and horrible 7-0 start where they didn't play anybody except that Georgia Tech game where they had 58 weird plays that happened in their favor. I think that could be one where you could see multiple Clemson assistants get a phone call. And that's a good job, not just in and of itself, but also as a stepping stone to another job. Think about what Willie Taggart just did. If you see Willie Taggart as a total fraud as a coach, which I still think he probably is a good coach at a group of five and not quite cut out for a Power Five job. I think he's still a good group of five coach, and USF may hire him again. He turned like two good years, maybe even one good year by some standards, at USF into the Oregon job. What? That is a great job. That is one of the top jobs in the country with Nike money literally right over there. He turned USF into that job. If you're Jeff Scott and you want to be a head coach, you could have a few good years at USF, or you could have one good year at USF and get a job at what would be a modern-day shingle school at Oregon.
And think about how Jeff Scott has recruited Florida.
Yes.
Florida
yes.
has been Jeff Scott's bread and butter. That is, Kwok, you are, you're convincing me here. This is not set in stone.
Right.
But I could see how Jeff Scott, you're convincing me that Jeff Scott could be a candidate.
I don't have any information on this. I'm just spitballing
yeah,
here.
Sure.
When USF came open, that's the first thing I thought of. That Tampa area, Jeff Scott's recruited it well for a long time, has connections down there. The AD, there's probably a relationship there. This feels like a Jeff Scott, Tony Elliott, made in the shade, good group of five head coaching job that could either be an established thing where they could stay for a few years or a stepping stone to something else.
It also speaks to USF and to the ability, what recruiting and what the talent pool in Florida has meant to USF, because I didn't know this, Kwok, that they came into existence in 1997 and they didn't become D1 until 2001, or sorry, FBS, I should say. That's unbelievable to
yep.
me. And then in FBS, they've had numerous 10-win seasons, and they've had so many 8-win seasons and all these things, and they've only existed since 1997?
Yep.
I know Jim Lovett was there forever, and he kind of built it in, and then you had Skip Holtz, Taggart, and Charlie Strong. I did not realize that USF was that young of a program.
I'm
and look
you.
At the success they've had. They've existed for just over 20 years.
It's a good, good job.
Interesting.
It's a good, good job in a group of five, and I think they could go the coordinator route. And if I was them, I would call Jeff Scott and Tony Elliott, particularly Jeff Scott first. I don't think with the types of jobs open and the types of jobs that could come open because of that, I don't think we go this offseason without Clemson losing an assistant.
So you're saying it right now.
I think somebody will take a job. Yeah. I think someone. And again, I have no information on that. It's strictly a guess, and I'm only looking at the market and potential fits. I don't know what the ADs are thinking. I don't know what the boards are thinking. I don't know any of that.
Is there any? Well, we have to go to break.
Yeah.
We got to go to break. I got to stop asking questions.
Okay. Stay with us. Hold that thought. We'll be back for more on a Tiger Tuesday after this.
Winter can be such a wonderful time of year with family and friends, but it can also mean the inevitable ice storms that we see here in the upstate. Don't let heavy ice covered power lines leave you in the dark for the holiday season. Be prepared with a Generac automatic home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro Premier dealer. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment and tell them Mickey sent you. Just as soon as you put your leftovers up for Thanksgiving, the holiday has begun. Make sure your carpets and upholstery look as sparkling as your decorations this season with Zero Res. Zero Res makes sure you leave your carpets and upholstery like new. Mention my name, Mickey Plowler, and get 3 rooms of carpet cleaned for just $119. For Zero Res carpet and air duct cleaning, call 864-558-7300 or book online at ZeroResGreenville.com. Zero Res, spell it backwards or forwards, it's the right way to clean. If you're a mattress shopping, you must go visit Engineered Sleep on Congaree Road in Greenville. Each mattress is made in-house, and their showroom has the most popular models for you to try out. Engineered Sleep makes your mattress shopping easy. Every local mattress order is delivered to your house, and setup is free. Buy local and buy direct from the manufacturer. Visit EngineeredSleep.com for more information. That's EngineeredSleep.com. Sleep like a lamb, rise like a tiger.
Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road has what you've been waiting for, the 2020 Twin Peaks calendar. Get to your favorite store or online shop to buy yours today. The calendar features one Twin Peaks girl from every store around the country, $75 in savings throughout the year, and $5 from every calendar purchased is donated straight to Folds of Honor. You're welcome. Get yours in-store or online at TwinPeaksRestaurant.com/shop. Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Truck savings continue at George Coleman Ford, where trucks cost less and travelers less. Listen to this. A 2019 F-150 XLT with two-tone paint and navigation system. MSRP is $50,435. George Coleman Ford has it at $15,000 off for just $35,435. That's savings, people. Never any hidden fees. Just top-rated customer satisfaction for nearly 90 years. George Coleman Ford.
Must finance with Ford Motor Credit. Offer good through 1-2-2020.
You're a smart consumer. You do the research. You get the most value for your money. So we have a compact tractor for you at Powell Tractor. The Massey Ferguson 1700 E-Series offers big tractor features with the easy operation and fuel efficiency of a compact. Add in an affordable price, 0% financing for 84 months with zero down and cash rebates. Now, you've got a great deal. Try out a Massey Ferguson 1700 E-Series tractor today at Powell Tractor in Westminster. 2020 Clemson Area Chamber Community and Visitors Guides are an ideal way for you to reach visitors, residents, and local business decision makers. These guides provide you and your business with over a year of print and digital exposure, reaching thousands of consumers. Reserve your place now in the 2020 Clemson Area Chamber Community and Visitor Guide by calling Patty Mungo, 843-685-0532. Or call the Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce at 864-654-1200. Invest in yourself and support businesses in Clemson, Central, 6 Mile, and Pendleton by being a part of the 2020 Clemson Area Chamber Community and Visitor Guide. Speak with Patty Mungo, 843-685-0532, or the Clemson Area Chamber of Commerce, 864-654-1200.
It's Out of Bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Now, back to Kwok and Kelly.
Three continues Out of Bounds. William Quagamish, Kelly Gramlich here in the Poe Indoor Practice Facility, the Reeves Complex in Clemson. We appreciate you joining us today. Going to have Tim Bray join us in the next segment. Let's go back to the Northern Communication Volunteers. Actually, you had, you know what? Save it. We'll get back to whatever it is that you were trying to say before we went to break. Let's bring Tyler in. Tyler actually called before and had to hang up, so he called back.
Oh, we're so glad he's back. That's good.
What's up, Tyler?
Hey, how are y'all doing?
Doing great. Hope you're doing well.
I'm good. It's good to talk to y'all again. It's been a few weeks. You know,
yes, sir.
I watched the Alabama-LSU game, and bless his heart, Tua. Tua played like he was a little bit mentally injured, not just physically injured. Bless his, anyway, I'm just calling in, and I want to say this, because after I hung up, I heard the argument for the 16-team playoff. And just imagine this nightmare scenario that this somehow does happen one day. imagine for fans, how are they going to be able to pay for all that? Because, I mean, that's what, let's see, four different games that you'd have to pay to go to if your team goes to the national championship. And, of course, that doesn't seem like a crazy amount of money for some fans. But at the same time, that, I feel like that almost puts college football into a commercialized kind of mantra. You know what I mean? Just,
sure.
Kind of tears apart,
I mean, before. Look, I think that's right. Kirk Herbstreit had an interesting point today. He has really never been in favor of expansion, and he made an argument. I thought it was very eloquently done. I think it was on his podcast yesterday, but I just heard it this morning, where he basically laid out, okay, if you've got teams that are 10-2 and the fans feel like the season is a failure, like Notre Dame, Penn State. Well, I mean, we've talked about these teams where there's going to be, you know, like Georgia or LSU, whichever one loses. You're going to feel like your season meant nothing, even though you won your division and you played for your conference title, and you're going to be in a New Year's Six game. Those don't carry the same way. We've talked about this. They don't carry the same way as BCS Bowls. He said that would be the reason, because he feels like there's so much importance in the playoff now that we have decided that everything else doesn't matter, that players can skip the bowl games and all this stuff. And players, he said, when you go down the lower levels, players love playing in bowl games. But it's like at that upper level, if you're not in the playoff, nothing you've done matters at all. So he said that would be his rationale for expanding. Okay. But he also is in favor of hosting a game, so having one game at a home venue, so that's something that's been that's been bandied about. Basically, eliminating college conference championship games, having an 18 playoff, and having the first round of games located on campuses of the top four seeds. To me, I know that one fan base wouldn't be able to travel as much, but that alleviates some of that concern, because after that, then you're back to a Final Four where already you were stretched thin. You could stay home from a road game, theoretically, and it's a little easier to go to a home game, even though it would cost a little bit, you know, to get in. It wouldn't cost the travel and the hotels and things like that. So I think in his proposal, I think that would alleviate at least some of that concern.
And one more thing, by the way. I used to listen to the Paul Feinbaum show after school every day. And it's funny, because before we beat Alabama by 28 points, he loved Dabo. He thought he was a great coach. He said, you know, Dabo Sweeney, he's up and coming. You know, one day he'll probably coach the Crimson Tide, and he'll be a great head coach. And suddenly, when Dabo beats his beloved Crimson Tide, and of course, for that matter, any SEC team, he doesn't have the same tune. It's kind of strange, isn't it? You know, I don't know. Just my crop would die, I guess, right?
Yeah. You know what? I hadn't thought about that, but that's a good point, Tyler. I appreciate the phone call. Thanks very much.
All right, thank you.
Absolutely. That's a really good point. And it does seem like Feinbaum's taking more shots at Dabo ever since everyone's basically put to bed the Dabo's going to replace Saban at Alabama conversation. Like, he doesn't have to be nice to him anymore.
Feinbaum, I don't know how to describe him. He's very up and down. He's very emotional. I think he reacts to everything that happens, because I actually was flipping around yesterday and I watched a little Feinbaum because I just want to hear what he's saying and what he's talking about. And he was praising Dabo Sweeney yesterday on his show. He was saying that Dabo Sweeney, if he wins a third national championship this year, that we will have to call him the best coach in the country. Like, he was saying all these good things about Dabo Sweeney. And then he just flips. And I think he's more likely to say crazy stuff when he's on Get Up or he's on ESPN and he's not on his show. He's more likely to say crazy stuff, frankly, when he has a bigger audience. That's just what I've seen from him. I very rarely, the clips of him that go viral when he's talking about Dabo and criticizing Dabo are not on his radio show. They're not. They're on a bigger show where I think he has more audience and more eyes. That's just what I've seen. But I feel like his tune with Dabo changes week to week. I can't keep up. One week he said a nice thing, or really this past summer he was saying all these nice things about Dabo, and now suddenly he hates Dabo, he thinks he's a crybaby, should be in timeout, which is just so flat out disrespectful to say about another grown human being on national television. It's
what
just
about
ridiculous?
What about when Nick Saban basically
screamed his head off,
and pitched a fit because a play that was within the rules was unfair?
But no,
was that
not
a temper tantrum of a 3-year-old that you put in timeout? That's not fair. To me, when Saban got to the podium and said that's unfair, I was like, you're a child. You're a child. You're a sore loser child. Who, if you were a child and I was your parent, I would say, go to your room. We're going to talk about how to have class when you lose. That was unfair. That was an unfair play. Well, It was within the rules, Saban.
Well, not technically. I still think that was ridiculous.
Well, but
Auburn
rule?
Got to kick that field goal.
Well, the field goal is one thing.
Time to the clock.
The field goal is one thing. He wasn't talking about that. He's talking about the play at the end where the punter was out at receiver.
Gotcha.
And he said they should have had more time to be able to sub. Well, how much time do you want? Do you need a small eternity? Because they already had subbed and they were trying to resub. You don't get time to sub and then change your mind and shuffle everybody off. I mean, that's ridiculous. So anyway, I feel like Saban, who has been a crybaby too. Like, remember the time that he said that he was putting players in danger? It was a player safety risk to run hurry up, no huddle offenses.
Yeah.
Remember how stupid that is? That's like somebody being like, wearing a seatbelt can give you whiplash. I mean, it's ridiculous. It's absolutely insane that he said that. And then we know that to be demonstrably false. Just get your guys in better shape.
I just
Idiot.
Had a flashback to earlier this year when Feinbaum legitimately asked the question of which coach would you rather have, Dabo Swinney or Jimbo Fisher? Do you remember that? He asked that question on his show.
Yes.
Oh, man.
That wasn't even that long ago.
I just don't know what to do with that guy. I don't know what to do with that guy.
He did in September. He said he felt like Jimbo Fisher was a better
coach.
He
literally asked that question.
I don't know.
I thought Dabo did a good job today in the press conference of handling that, because when it's obvious that you're never going to change someone's mind about you, why should you even address it, you know? Feinbaum's going to have whatever opinion of Dabo that he wants. There's nothing Dabo can do to change that. And
yes.
Dabo is really, I would say until recently, Dabo has been super respectful of Feinbaum, and he still is. He said a few kind of sassy things today, but what human being is just going to keep saying, Feinbaum, great guy, you know, as he keeps saying these terrible things about you? Dabo is literally never, he's like, it's not like Dabo started this fight, that he said something bad about Feinbaum, and then all of a sudden, here we go. Feinbaum definitely started this fight.
Oh, yeah. Well, he knows it's good for business, too.
Oh, yeah.
He knows it's good for business. And Dabo understands that he knows it's good for business.
He literally asked, who would you rather have, Dabo or Jimbo Fisher?
All right, here's another one, okay? This has nothing to do with any of our conversations, because we're talking about postseason, and this is about a team that's not going to bowl. South Carolina played a quarterback on what we know is a torn meniscus, and what some have said is an ACL on Saturday. Now, I seem to remember, I'm old enough to remember in 2014, when South Carolina fans, who were very upset that Clemson beat them for the first time in 6 years, were crying that Dabo was a horrible person and was essentially responsible for mass genocide of some people group.
Why do you
Because
talk,
he
why,
played Deshaun
why
on
do
a bum knee.
Why do you take everything past the level that
He's
you
the worst
should?
Part. No. You don't understand.
Someone made
you
a fake
remember.
Twitter yesterday, and you said you wanted to tie him to a chair and punch him in the face. Yeah,
yes, because you're impersonating a real person who's putting real news.
I would
news,
just argue. Like, okay.
And you're spreading rumors
you
about
always,
people in the public square under
you
false
always
pretenses.
Go here.
You should get hit in the face.
You always go here. Just go here. You know, like you always go to 10. Just go to 7.
No,
and a half.
But you know what? If fans would go to 10, then
just
I'll go to 10.
Don't use the word genocide.
No, if you're going to
you know?
Act like Dabo hates young people and has never once cared about a young person, because
in fact, I don't think anybody acted like that.
Hates all of his players because he played Deshaun on a bad knee. That's legitimately the conversation.
No,
I can't believe Dabo hates Deshaun
that.
So much.
No.
I can't believe he's
no.
such a horrible person.
People
he's
going to
burn in
that.
Hell because he
nope.
played Deshaun on a bad knee that
Wrong.
Time.
Wrong.
And the real thing that happened
people
there
weren't saying
is that,
that
people did say that. People
no, they
did
didn't. People did not say Dabo should burn in hell.
Yes.
People did not say that.
Yes. You didn't see the text line in 2014, Kelly. In that time.
I can't.
People thought Dabo was the worst human.
No,
because
they
he played Deshaun. Yes. Because he played Deshaun.
People criticized his
fans.
Decision, but no one's a human being.
Of
and
course.
Should not be allowed to walk the earth.
Paul Feinbaum said he was a 3-year-old child and needed timeout today for literally no reason.
Okay, but that's
of course
no part of your current argument.
Of course they said that because he didn't care about Deshaun's future, he was exploiting young athletes. There were racial accusations. I remember these. I was on air. I was on air in 2014. I remember these. He doesn't care about these players.
Well, Texter says you need to go to timeout.
Dabo doesn't care about these players. Yeah, give me a pacifier. This is ridiculous. 2014, these things were happening. So, Dabo's the Antichrist in 2014.
No, God. See, look.
I did that on purpose. In 2014.
Just go to 7.
Right.
Don't
in 2014,
take it to 10.
Dabo was not the nicest human ever. He was not winning the Nobel Peace Prize in 2014 because he played Deshaun on a torn ACL that would not have gotten any worse in the game. And we knew that. He was clear to play. Would not have gotten any worse in the game.
I'm glad that Dr. Kwok has joined us today.
Ryan Helinski not only played in the game, what was really painful is watching him, like, peel his lifeless corpse up off the turf and then jog over and get the play and then jog
that
back
was
over.
Sad. Right. That
he looked
was
like
sad.
He looked like Vandervoort when he's having his gout. He's dragging that leg behind him. He couldn't even move, right? He couldn't even move. Love you, Willie B.
I would also hope, I wish that you would stop bringing up gout on the show.
I'm sorry.
Still do it.
Vandervoort was going to do it tomorrow anyway. I was just getting ahead of the curve. He's dragging that foot behind him just to get play calls. They made him run all the way across, and he knew his knee was hurt. And Muschamp has said a bajillion times this year, this guy's fine. He's healthy. He's fine. He's healthy. He's fine. He's healthy. He's fine. He's healthy. He's not healthy.
Do we know when
he's hopping around?
When this injury officially happened?
I think the Georgia game.
Yikes.
He also hurt his elbow, and they were talking about one report I said, I think it was a Boston Courier, said that it was somewhere, news station or something. It was a news station in Columbia. Said they explored Tommy John surgery on his elbow. So this guy has no one working knee, and he's looking for Tommy John, and he's out there playing. His team's getting bludgeoned to death. They had no chance. They're getting bludgeoned to death. He's out there playing.
Consider this. A quarterback without a good knee or a good elbow beat Georgia. Just consider that for a second.
Well, no, it was Dak Joyner, who immediately got hurt and we never saw him again.
He partially beat Georgia. Then Dak Joyner came in to finish the job.
Here's my point in saying all that stuff. There are people whose response to that is, well, Muschamp is the Antichrist too, and he's the worst human that's ever walked for playing this guy. And I'm here to tell you, it's not that bad. Now, when you're down 38-3, Jay Urich is fine. Go with Urich. Do not play ACL meniscus boy out there to just get reamed out and go 3-down punt the ball. Do not do that, okay? Do not send that guy out there as a sitting duck with Xavier Thomas getting around the edge. That's not what you want. But going into the game, if he's not going to make it worse and he's going to have surgery in the offseason, this is no different from the Deshaun Watson injury.
And if he wanted to play, which I assume he did.
He did want to play. I said all that nonsense to say this. I don't think it's that big of a deal.
Neither do I.
On a hurt knee. But it better be a big deal to the people who said Dabo should burn in hell in 2014. And Kevin on Twitter says, at Kelly Gramick, they actually did say that about Dabo at Kwok Talk. Kevin,
I'm glad I wasn't doing the show then.
Thank you, Kevin.
Kwok, by the way, you're welcome for my sacrifice because I did this show with a torn meniscus.
You did. And you know what? It wasn't going to hurt you any worse, and you wanted to play.
Mm.
And then you had your surgery after, right?
That's sacrifice.
You and Ryan Helinski would have a lot to talk about. You'd have a lot to talk about.
We have been through similar things with the meniscus. No.
In our final segment, Tim Beray is going to come and bring rationality and perspective to the show. Stay with us. Final segment of the program is coming up next.
Walt here. Join me live from Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road in Greenville Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. Enjoy 29-degree draft beer, delicious fresh food, and, of course, the scenic views. All this Thursday from 3 to 7 p.m. at Twin Peaks on Woodruff Road. Be there.
Hey, guys. This is Taj Boyd with Lakeside Lodge Clemson, here to tell you about another project brought to you by the same team, the Falls of Meehan. This neighborhood offers move-in-ready homes and townhouses and available sites for you to design your perfect home just 5 minutes from Clemson. This community offers top-of-the-line amenities for a low monthly price. So the question is, why rent when you can buy? For more information, visit fallsofmeehan.com. That's fallsofmeehan.com.
Winter can be such a wonderful time of year with family and friends, but it can also mean the inevitable ice storms that we see here in the upstate. Don't let heavy ice covered power lines leave you in the dark for the holiday season. Be prepared with a Generac automatic home standby power solution from Carolina Generators, your local Generac Power Pro Premier dealer. Give Carolina Generators a call at 864-232-5684 or visit online at carolinagenerators.com to schedule your free in-home Power Pro assessment and tell them Mickey sent you.
The list of things I rely on is short. There's my recliner, the lawnmower, the kid's sitter, and above all, Michelin tires. Get the tire that's ready to make every stop in every season. And for a limited time, get yours with a $70 reward card after submission when you buy a set of 4 new Michelin passenger or light truck tires.
Call Pendleton Tire today for all the details. 646-3694 or online at PendletonTire.com.
See MichelinMan.com/promo for complete details. Offer valid between 11-13-2019 and 12-13-2019. Void where prohibited.
Granger Nissan of Anderson is not only the home with a lifetime warranty, but the winner of the 2017 and 2018 Nissan Award of Excellence. Granger Nissan is here to serve the upstate with excellent service and competitive pricing. With the largest selection of Nissans in the upstate, Granger Nissan is sure to have what you need in stock and ready to drive off the lot today. Granger Nissan of Anderson at 3510 Clemson Boulevard, only 25 miles from Greenville, and always online at GrangerNissanOfAnderson.com.
Crute LED display signs and virtual scoreboards offer peak performance with programmable, full-color, vivid LED screens at an affordable price. With multiple sizes available and carrying a 5-year warranty, Crute LED displays allow you to create your own custom message that is certain to resonate with your audience. Your business, church, or school can afford a multifunctional LED display sign. Let Crute LED show you how. KRUT-LED.com or call 401-8156.
I'm Richard Thompson of Thompson & King Law Firm, and I believe that every person has a God-given desire to work. That's why I take Social Security and workers' compensation cases very seriously, because most folks don't really want to think they're disabled. They hesitate to file for disability, and when they're turned down, they hesitate to appeal their case. But they are disabled. If you're presently unable to work on a daily basis, even if you don't fully understand the cause, come see me. I'll take your case seriously. I know you do.
But Thompson King Law Firm, 222-0200.
Mellow Mushroom Clemson is much more than awesome pizza. If you need catering for the holidays, our catering menu is full of goodies like fresh salads, sandwich platters, and our amazing pasta salad. It's ideal for holiday parties, graduation parties, and employee appreciation parties. And in the spirit of giving, get a Mellow Mushroom Clemson holiday gift card, and you'll receive a $5 bounce back for more savings. Happy holidays from Mellow Mushroom, 1007 Tiger Boulevard, Clemson.
Your heating and air conditioning are often out of sight, out of mind. Upstate Service Solutions can keep it that way. As a customer, I can vouch for why they should be your HVAC service provider as well. Upstate Service Solutions is an independent American Standard heating and air conditioning dealer. With fall around the corner, now is the time to have Upstate Service Solutions provide maintenance on your system for the winter. Top-rated Upstate Service Solutions. Call them at 423-3606. 423-3606.
No rules, just out of bounds on 105.5 The Roar.
Let's do this thing.
Now back to Gronk and Kelly.
Final segment of the program here at Clemson and the Polando Frack facility, the Reeves Complex. I got a few texts on this and people remembering that conversation with Dabo. Maybe not to the lengths that I described it.
Just call
me Feinbaum or Dabo, frankly. Not to the lengths I described it, but my general point is
true. Will admit that I was still in school when all that was happening. So I don't think I had my pulse on the, I'm pretty young.
All right.
I don't really have my pulse on the nation at the time. But I still think my tendency is to assume that you are over-exaggerating and overreacting to everything. So maybe that's why.
Well, before we tell you about the real ID, I feel like we need fact-checking with Tim Beret. Because Tim Beret remembers those conversations about Dabo. And he will be able to tell folks with more levity, shall we say, where I erred in saying that people compared Dabo to the Antichrist and where I was correct. So to what extent was my rant correct?
Reality
there
is somewhere in between.
Yes.
I wouldn't say that people compared Dabo to that extent to the Antichrist. However, there was the gathering storm of people who probably worked rooted for the team in Columbia to say that he was a win-at-all-cost coach. He'd make you go play if you're hurt, but to try to hurt us in recruiting. You know, all's fair in love, war, and recruiting. And so,
true.
So that narrative was out there. But, of course, Deshaun did a few interviews and refuted it and said that, you know, he wasn't going to hurt anymore. And then I did try to educate people to the fact that in 1984, Mike Epley played an entire season with a torn ACL.
Wow.
So, you know.
Fun stuff.
Coach Ford, you know, where he didn't want to run the ball that much. But, yeah, he did.
Speaking of recruiting, you know, I
appreciate
I feel
your rationale right there, Tim. rationality.
We needed it.
We always do.
Tim filmed that whole thing, and I don't know how long he was filming.
I don't want to see it.
But I did see him put the phone down at the end, and he said, I'm going to love show
December 3rd, 2029, I'm going to find you two.
Oh, my gosh.
And I'm going to show you that day
The way you said that, I'm going to find you. Like, we're going to go out of contact with you, Tim. We would never. We'll be easy to find.
When you're, getting ready to host primetime on ESPN Sports Center and you're studying up for to broadcast the ACC championship football game on ESPN.
Oh,
so, that's good. I like that. I like speaking that. A little prophecy there. I like it. You know, I never thought about this. If you're a football coach, you're like a 12 months out of the year person, right? I mean, your job is all the time.
Correct.
We always talk about the procrastination involved in waiting till the last minute until October 1, 2020, when you have to have that real ID to get on a plane. If you're a football coach and it's September 29th and you haven't gotten that real ID, you probably have practice and meetings and recruiting, and you're probably just not going to be able to fly on, like if you have to fly commercial on recruiting trips, you're not going to be able to do that. So they need it like worse than anybody. This time of year, like next week perhaps, they might need to go to the DMV. If you're if you hear the sound of my voice here in Clemson, if you have not gotten that real ID, I would just say go ahead and do it, because you do not want to be in late September 2020 trying to get that gold star on your license. More information, scdmvonline.com. That's scdmvonline.com.
Speaking of that, I was in the Atlanta airport the other day.
Yes.
And I gave them my ID, and the guy looked at me, he goes, "This is not going to work soon." And he was so serious and so harsh. And I wanted to say, sir, I know.
We've been doing these reads for a while.
Yes. And I'm not procrastinating. I have a name situation that is forthcoming, so I'll get that as soon as I can.
Of course. Tim, how are you?
I'm doing well, and I think the first question you should ask at the press conference following the spring game this year is, Coach, have you gotten your new ID yet? You know you only got 3 months.
Have you gotten your real ID?
That feels like a PSA or something.
It could affect our recruiting, so you better go do it.
I mean, let's be honest, though. When is Dabo flying commercial?
Not very often. Yeah,
that's true.
Right.
That's a good point.
Yeah,
maybe when he's going to, check out the Raptors this year or whatever.
Yes, he does.
And, when Drake's playing point guard.
That's right. He just didn't look like a point guard. You guys would have laughed at me so much as I'm screening through the roster. Nah, he doesn't look like this guy. Nah, he looks like this guy. Who is this guy?
What's
that
funny
is still my favorite Tim Bray story ever.
I do think, I thought about that way later after you told that story. I'm like, he doesn't not look like Fred VanVleet. I mean, there's a little bit of resemblance there depending on how Fred got his hair that day.
No, I don't think they look alike.
I'm just saying.
Man.
All right, we asked this earlier in the show about brothers on first team all ACC. Do you have anything for us on that? Like the Surratts, Chaz,
right?
Say
yes.
Making
no,
it in
I believe the only
year.
Time it's happened was the Barber brothers for the University of Virginia in 1995 and 96.
I feel good about that. That was my guess,
but it's the first time it's happened when the brothers
are two different schools
played for two different teams.
That's true. I like
now,
that.
Now we've had some good brother combinations. Obviously, the closest that could have happened with us would have been the Perry brothers in 1984 when William was a senior, Michael Dean was a freshman, and they only picked one team. Of course, both Surratts made first team, didn't they? Yeah,
they did.
Yeah. So William was the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. Michael Dean had a great year and had 15 tackles for loss as a freshman, but he did not make first team all ACC.
Go ahead.
Go ahead, Clark.
Sorry.
You look like you had something to say.
Well, I was going
to
ask about because I heard, and I don't know, maybe I was in a daze because of the rant from the last segment, but the longest winning streaks per athletic team. You don't have a full list yet.
I'm doing research, yes.
I love this.
I have the longest winning streak in Clemson history on all the active sports, plus swimming right now. I still have to find wrestling, fencing, field hockey, and I'm going to try to check boxing in the 1930s. We had a boxing team that was the Southern Conference champion in 1939, but I don't think they played that many dual matches. So, Kelly Gramlich, do you know what the record is for the longest winning streak in women's basketball history at Clemson?
Oh, man. I would guess it came in the 90s.
Very good guess. It would happen twice during ACC championship seasons.
Ah, okay. So the 96 and 99.
Very good. You know your women's basketball history.
There you go.
I saw those banners in the gym every day.
Yes.
Oh, so what's the number?
What's
the
number?
So it happened twice?
It happened twice.
So it's the same number?
Same number.
Oh, gosh. 10?
11.
Oh, that was close.
And a little bit of irony is the men's record is happened twice and is the same number, but a little bit higher.
Very interesting. That's good stuff. Last year, they won six in a row, the women did?
I think six.
Six ACC games in a row.
Yeah, that's ACC. This is overall.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Actually, the men's record is 17.
What about for...
That was the Purnell team that made the NIT. Last unbeaten team, right?
Yes.
Oh.
And won the first 17, and then we lost to Virginia, in a game in which Virginia scored the last 16 points of the game to beat us by one. Very close to what the Tigers did when we beat TCU out in Vegas. We scored the last 15 to send it into overtime, and then won the game. So going into this past weekend, the longest winning streak in any sport that I found so far. The baseball team won 26 in a row in 1977 before losing it to South Carolina.
Oh.
The men's tennis team won 26 in a row between 1968 and 1970 before losing to North Carolina. So far, the 27-gamer for football is the longest streak in any sport in Clemson history, and probably going to be the case, although we did have a 16-0 season in fencing in 1980, so I have to check either side of that to see.
Did you know we had fencing in 1980?
No.
Probably not.
I did not know.
Good answer. That's a great
answer.
So
in fencing, do you call it games? Is it a game or a match?
Stand by. I'm definitely looking that up.
A fencing competition, I guess.
That sounds about right.
I'm trying to think what we called it.
That sounds about right.
I guess. Because a meet, wrestling meet. Yeah, I was going to say meet. A meet sometimes infers multiple teams involved.
I feel like it's some European, like, random thing to call a game. You know what I
mean? It's a game.
Okay.
Yeah.
A game.
They call it games. Yeah.
Can I ask a football question now?
Yeah, sure.
I'll talk fencing.
I appreciate you respecting. I appreciate you respecting the rule of the day. If you're gonna go away from literally anything else, please preface it with quick football question.
Right, right, right. And then back to fencing.
I've never seen that before. Dabo's press conference. We had to actually say just a football question.
Can I get a football question in there?
Yeah, somebody did say that.
Unreal.
Okay, Tim. This surprised me. I noticed this a couple weeks ago that, you know, when I think of the great wide receivers in this decade for Clemson, I think my mind still goes first to Sammy and Nuke, mainly because of what they've done at the NFL level. But T. Higgins right now has 24 receiving touchdowns. If he has four more, which is three games left, two, one, whatever it is.
Possible.
He could become Clemson's all-time leader in receiving touchdowns. And does that surprise you a little bit like it does me? Or does that kind of make sense because of what he's done?
Quite frankly, it does, because, we think of, Nuke and Sammy were pretty amazing. Now, they only played 3 years, but T's only played
three
years.
And T didn't play that much as a freshman, really, Citadel game.
Yeah.
He had, like, a breakout game.
No, you're right. I think he have just three or four touchdowns his freshman year. So, you're right. And, of course, Nuke had a bunch and won, he did 17 or 18 and won in one season. So, it was a little bit surprising. And he's also got other very good receivers around him that could spread it out. So, actually, Justin has more catches this year, but T has more touchdowns. Mm-hmm. He's been pretty productive, obviously.
What's interesting is, if you look at, and this is my perception, the Chad Morris era featured more passing touchdowns. So that's why you would think Sammy and Nuke, because Taj Boyd threw a million touchdowns
still
all the
holds
time.
The record,
right.
Yeah.
And it seems like Travis Etienne scores a lot now, or you've got, rushing touchdowns from the one and things like that. But it also is different people. I'm looking right now, Sammy scored 12 in 2011 and Nuke had 5. Sammy scored 3 in 2012, Nuke had 18.
Right.
In 2013, Sammy had 12. So it's not like Sammy had 3 good seasons because of that 2012 season where he started suspended and all that stuff.
But you can compare that 2012 year for Sammy to T's freshman year.
That's right. That's very true. But 12 and then 10, back-to-back years, I mean, there's a reason I haven't
and
done.
And most likely every year, actually this is right, Sammy and Nuke only played 13 games.
That's true. True. And now they're playing
so add
15
that in
games.
Too.
True.
Still, it did surprise me a little bit.
Yeah. No, I could see why you, and now, of course, you know, Nuke's, for 2010, we, you know, just didn't have the offense that we had, so Nuke didn't have many touchdowns. You know, that season.
Just four.
Guys,
Clemson only had 17 touchdown passes in 2010.
Yeah.
Wow.
Clemson gave up, with a good defense, gave up more touchdown passes than it threw that year.
People are saying that a fencing competition is either a duel or a bout.
Ah. You know what? That makes sense. Mm-hmm. Sword fighting, duel. That's easy.
Yeah.
Why didn't we
or
think
about.
Of that?
And also, a texter says, please ask Tim to write an autobiography. I would love to read it.
Mm.
Is that in the works?
I hadn't thought about it.
I know you have an app.
I was going to say, you got the app.
I do
we got
have
like,
the app
we
going.
Got like 30 seconds.
Going.
Tell us about the app.
The app is 13 categories of 20 different questions. Right now, it's just about football. Might expand it and do some basketball and other sports.
Please, some fencing,
like,
if you don't
you
mind.
Know, who's got the most 3-point goals in the history of Clemson women's basketball? We might throw that in there. So, yeah, but it's a fun little app. You can go get it on the Google App Store and download it and give it as a Christmas present or whatever. It's just $3, and it's a one-time thing.
Oh.
It's forever. Just $3 forever.
Do you have a promo code?
I just downloaded it. A promo code. Pay the $3. This guy gives us so much time on the air. Give that man $3. We could give him $6 from the
promo
show.
Promo code fencing. It'll bring the price down to $3.
Tim, we appreciate it. Thanks very
Enjoyed
much.
Enjoyed being with you, as always.
All right. God bless.
Safe
we'll see you tomorrow.
Home plate in the Priority One Security Studios. WAHT AM 1560 Cowpens. WCCP.